Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Welcome to the Down at Third Man podcast. Cricketers back, club cricketers all around the country now more or less are out playing. We started this weekend in North Staff, so we've got an action-packed episode 15 for you. As we go through all the usual world cricket stuff, bit of opinion-based stuff, and then a good roundup of the North Staffs League, especially the top four divisions. Tonight, I've only got one of the deadly duo with me. You won't want to talk too much about Saturday, I feel, but we will mention it later on. And that is Aid Lalo. How are we, dude?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I think, well, Jono might join us, he said. We don't 100% know yet, do we?
Yeah, I believe he's having motoring issues, shall we say.
Yeah, some car troubles.
Some car troubles, which no one likes to be in that position, so we'll let him off. I'll say none of us like to be in that position. Aid would probably quite like that because, I mean, how old are we now, dude? I'm still not driving.
I've lost count now, mate. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, he just likes us a lot being his personal taxi. Right, before we get going, as always, big shout-out to Woodstock, who support us. Their kit is top class. I think we'll all agree on that. I got to double figures on Saturday. Yet again, another miracle using their kit. So get yourselves on their website. Get using our discount code THIRDMAN25 to get yourself 25% off. And get yourself your hands on some of the best kit around. Now, I've put down, dude, the first thing we need to do is recap on how us boys did. So... Who dares start here, me or D? Because I don't.
Are we going on team or personally?
I mean, we'll do a bit of both. Do you want to start, or do actually I bore people with Div 7?
Yeah, you bore them first, mate.
Wow, I bored the shit out of people watching our game. I'll give them that. Extremely slow 14 opening the batting for me, but it was a 50 odd partnership with Big Tim Steele, who used up a few lives along the way, but got himself a good 30 odd. And we ended up winning last ball of the game. Shouldn't have gone that deep, but it did, thanks to some, should we say, less than progressive batting at one stage. But it went to last ball. Washi, who I think top score last year might have been one, managed to get one off the last ball to win us the game. Top-edged over his own head and over the fielders was brilliant. And got to give a shout-out to Mark Jones, who's joined us from Ashcombe Park. Debut. Takes a five for including a hat-trick. It doesn't really get much better than that. But it was a good day, a good laugh. Just a shame about the 30 minutes where we were absolutely shitting ourselves because we thought we were about to blow what should have been an easy win. So go on then, dude. Explain what happened in Div 2.
So basically, Mr. Maskery won the toss and elected to bat. We had quite a good start, actually. We were off about 35 off the first five or six. Seb and Steve got us off to a good start. Then I think it's between 10 and... It's probably 10 and 20. We had a bit of a sticky spell. We were 80 for 3, I think. And then there was a few of us in the middle that got a few. Me and John were in at the end. Jono's new role of non-playing captain, batting at 9.
That's a weird.
222, I think it was, which is... You know, it sounds a decent score, but at Stafford, I'd have said it was either par or below par. And then we got one of the openers out. And then, as much as I don't want to mention it, Steve, I'm going to have to mention it if you're listening. We snicked Guy Seaton off to slip on 2. He ends up getting 110 not out, I think it was, or something like that. Which don't, you know, not to take away from him, because it was a brilliant knock. But... there's a good chance if you take that, being probably 10 for 2, pressure's on a bit more, that the game might have gone our way. But
you're not going to blame it all on one bloke.
No, not blaming it all on one person. To be fair, we bowled a bit too many four balls, probably a four ball every over, which cost us. If we'd have had a four or five over spell of the game where, you know, we would have restricted him a bit more, we probably would have come away with a win. But... a decent, even though it was a loss, I think we still played reasonably well. It wasn't like we've been battered first game, so move on to next week.
The one thing that I would say there is that Chris Travers did proper put the curse on you, didn't he? Oh yeah, Stafford can go down. Oh, yeah, cheers.
Just I think they'll win quite a few games at home, I think.
I think they always do, don't they? They always suit the home conditions.
I think their top five is in top five, top six is actually pretty strong, really. There's a few lads that will, you know, will get quite a few runs this year, I think so.
Right then, we'll get on to something a bit more interesting for the masses that don't care about us pair of idiots. And that is world cricket. And we're going to start, as we have done for the last few weeks, with the IPL. The week sort of started with Jofra Archer being announced as being out of the whole tournament. Which, to be honest, is probably good news for England fans, good news for the Sussex fans. Less good news for Rajasthan, obviously. And less good news for the poor county championship players and county championship second team players who may have to deal with Jofra Archer putting 95 mile an hour snorters past the nose. So Jofra was out. COVID's hit quite big in India. We've seen players starting to go home, but then we've also seen some great stuff like Pat Cummins saying he's staying because he wants to try and bring a bit of happiness to people in India's lives by playing in the cricket, and he's donated a load of money towards oxygen and stuff, which is obviously really, really good stuff to hear. And I think he must be the one Australian that it's impossible to hate, which is always a little disappointing, but fair play to him. On to the actual cricket, though. RCB were looking like they were going to be invincible, looking unreal. I was getting worried, dude, that you might have actually been right about them at one stage, but did manage to lose the last game to CSK, who are now in control and now top, something I don't think anyone before the tournament predicted.
On paper, they've got a very good side. You just figure, well, until you look at the ages of some of them. Like, it was an all-star team from, you know, from about the last 10 years. It's a very good side, but there is a few aging characters in there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, fair play to, like, Moeen Ali's been really good. Sam Curran's done a job. Faf du Plessis's been really good. Imran Tahir did a job again as well the other night. It's fair play to him. I mean, you can't... I guess the sort of team where you think, well, will it all go wrong because of their age at some point? But
I love how you've just missed out the main guy that won in that game, by the way.
Look, I was going to come on to Ravi Jadeja because I feel like he deserves his own spot.
Yeah,
he probably like it's not fair. I mean, 37 off and over, world record. Yeah, he was out by a no ball, but that still takes some doing. Takes a few wickets, couple of run outs, you know, just all in a day's work, isn't it, for Ravi Jadeja. Possibly, would you say he's the best all-rounder in all formats?
No.
Ooh. I'll let that be.
No.
Not in all formats.
No.
Who do you think's the best in all formats?
I'm doing 2020, probably.
What about in all formats, then?
Not in tests, I wouldn't have said.
Putting Stokes ahead of him?
Yeah. It all depends on conditions, doesn't it? Obviously, in like spinning conditions, obviously, yeah, he's been better than Stokes, isn't he? But I think obviously Stokes a better batsman, and I think if you want a game changer in tests, you're relying on Stokes, aren't you?
Probably so, mate. I wouldn't disagree with that. Moving on a little bit, Punjab Kings lost today to KKR. Punjab Kings, I mean, does someone want to explain to him that T20 now, 120, 130 is not considered a good total? Because, I mean, KL are a hole going at one a ball for 60s. Is not helping them, and I'll be amazed if David Milan doesn't finally make his debut in the next game, because I mean, they've just got to give him a go, because it can't get much worse at times than what I've seen in the last couple.
Peran can't buy a run either, can he?
No, it's not been great to watch. KKR though had been really poor.
They made a bit of mess of it because they were 17 for 3 at one stage, weren't they?
Well, yeah, they tried the best, I think, to lose it. And there's been, up until today, there's been a few questions, actually, of Owen Morgan. Been poor with a bat, some debatable decisions on the pitch, you'd say. But then today comes out and it's 40-odd and leads him to a good win. So
Did he actually get out on, like, the second ball? I didn't actually see it, bro. I saw somebody
say, like, 17-4,
and then it went back to 17-3. So I don't know if it got overturned or something, but... what did it end up on? Because I saw he was in the 40s.
I think he finished on like 49 or something, finished just short, so at the 50, but got him over the line with quite a few balls to spare. So I don't think he'll mind that much. But another captain who's under pressure, and I'd say rather surprisingly, I don't think you'd have predicted it beginning, is David Warner. Unbelievable, really, that he chose to bat himself over Bairstow in the Super Over yesterday. Bairstow would hit half the sixes in the game, didn't get a go in the Super Over. I've just been joined by Charlie the dog.
As you said, I've seen the dog, so it just looks like a ghost just opened the door there.
Wow, brilliant, didn't it? Charlie the dog obviously would rather spend time with me than his mother, wouldn't you, mate? Don't blame you. But yeah, Warner, I mean, he's picked himself. I'm not shocked because, let's be honest, he looks like he's got a bit of an ego. One was required off a last ball, and Delhi Capitals got it on the Super Over and won. But they'd have needed two from the last ball if David Warner could run his batting properly. He was called one short, and it was, to be fair, only by a couple of millimetres, but it was still one short.
Would you have gone Warner and Bairstow? I think that's how I'd have gone.
I'd have gone Williamson and Bairstow, because Williamson was on fire, so...
Yeah, true.
You put the man who's on fire in, and then you put the guy who's the only thing 38 off 18 in, surely.
Yeah, Warner can hit a big ball once he gets hold of it, so it's one of them, isn't it? Six balls, who do you think is going to get you the most? But Bairstow would have easily been in... Well, Bairstow would have been the first pick, and then it's one of the other two for me.
I was just amazed, mate, I'll be honest with you. I just don't... Johnny Bairstow's fit would have been... Well, he wouldn't have been the first name, because Williamson would have been, but... The fact that Bairstow didn't get a go was beyond me. But that's been really it for the IPL. If we go on to the County Championship, quite a few England players sort of, I guess, showing credentials that they may be worth a shout. You got Matt Parkinson, took plenty of wickets. I think he might have been even seven in the game, maybe even more than that. Looking really, really good again. Second game in a row, he's looked good. He's looked like he's possibly got a shout to be England's number one spinner, or put pressure on Leach for that spot. But then Don Bess, who has done a really good interview for anyone who's interested about mental health, he's also gone and got quite a few wickets. I think he might have been five or six for. Done well, showing that for Yorkshire, he is still someone who should be considered for England. So it's been good from the spinners, to them two spinners, to see that. And then with the bat, as always, there's been a few people who've shown off that they have got it in them. And one of them was Haseeb Hameed. I think everyone wants him to do well, don't they? But to see him at two centuries in the game for Nottinghamshire was really, really good to see. Probably a bit early to be calling for him, but it hasn't stopped people, has it, let's be honest.
Oh, that's an England thing, though, in any sport, though, isn't it? That is. As soon as you have one good game, always brilliant, get him in.
Get him straight in. But yeah, Lancashire got a win. I think Warwickshire also got a win, didn't they, your side, dude?
Hey, mate, they're on fire here, mate.
And interesting that the only two teams that had won both of the first games, Hampshire and Gloucestershire, played out a draw. Gloucestershire just holding on. And for anyone who, as much as James Bracey was a guest on the pod and as a friend of the pod and has batted exceptionally well, and in a minute I will be buttering him up saying he needs to be playing for England this summer. He did leave one that was basically on middle stump. So if you're a big fan of a bad leave, it's always worth having a little quick view of that clip that's doing the rounds. Going into international cricket, before we talk about England, Pakistan have unsurprisingly been doing well against Zimbabwe. The Harare Sports Club or ground, whatever it's known as, I don't think that's any real shock. And Mohammad Rizwan just continues to have amazing stats in T20 cricket. Turns out, I think his stats were dreadful when he was batting 4 or 5 in T20, some averaging like 10 or something daft, but is he averaging something like 80 now, opening the batting, really? Got to be stark considering him being one of the top players now, really, in T20 cricket. And then Sri Lanka-Bangladesh played out the most bore draw of a test match ever seen. 500 that's, plays 500.
I've not seen any of it, but at one stage it was 1,000 runs for 10 wickets.
Yeah. I mean, even I might have got 20 on that deck. You never know.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, we were going on about them Indian pitches being, you know, too shit for, you know, actually getting a 20 or a 30. But then on the other hand, you don't want to see pitches where it's literally like we just said, you know, that's just a stupid amount of runs, isn't it? There's no entertainment.
Yeah. I saw some people on Twitter describing it as saying, like, the issue is both the England-India series and now this game are like practice, but only for one type of player. You've got spin bowlers practice, and now you've got batting practice, batting on the M6. And
batting on it. Well, from what I saw, they tried to make it a bit greener. It's like, you know, they were saying before England went over, that's what they were trying to do over there.
Yeah.
And it clearly hasn't done anything, has it? So.
No, I think it's just negated spin ever having an effect on it and made it that there's now nothing on offer for the bowlers, clearly. However, I must admit, was it? I can't think of his name, and I feel really sorry for him. But the lad who got I think he got a duck, didn't he, in the first innings? And yet both openers got a half century. I think numbers 4 and 5 both got a century or something daft like that. And number 3 was sat there with a duck. Yeah, it wasn't a good look. You don't want to be that bloke, do you? Let's be honest.
And then you're going to probably have to field for another 200 overs as well.
Yeah. He spent plenty of time out there, but sadly not much of it was batting, which, as you say, when it's 1,000 runs for 10 wickets, isn't he a good look for a number 3 batsman? I guess the main news, though, this week was the announcement that Ed Smith has lost his job, been made redundant. They've got rid of the role. First time in 120-odd years that England don't have a national selector, a head selector. Silverwood will be in charge. Obviously, Ruta Morgan will be involved. James Taylor's still involved as a scout. They've got Mo Babat, is it? I can never say his name right. He's obviously in charge of like, all the analysis and stuff like that. I guess, first of all, Ed Smith, do we think he did a good job, an all right job, or an absolute shocking job? I know he wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I don't think England have been particularly bad or particularly good, really. Mm. I think he had some good ideas. I think he had some ideas that maybe weren't so good. I think someone hit it nail on the head when they said the one thing that was good about him is he was willing to give people one too many chances, not one too little, like we've seen in the past. And like Butler was his idea, and that seems to have worked. And some of the young lads that have been come through, like Zach Crawley, I haven't got amazing stats, but he brought through Zach Crawley, and I think everyone now sees him as one of the future top players for England. I know he's a big backer of James Bracey as well. He thinks he'll be one for England long term. But I don't think you can say he was amazing either, if we're honest. Like,
I think he did a decent job, didn't he? You know, you're not going to say 10 out of 10. You're not going to say 2 out of 10, are you? Probably solid 6 out of 10, I'd say. You know, he's brought some of the younger ones through. But, like, at one point I was saying, like, someone like Sibley, I think he probably could have come in a bit earlier, maybe. And then there's people like Denley that eventually, I think he probably, again, had one too many chances. That he was getting 30s and 40s once he was never going on, but I don't, they probably saw something in him and he didn't repay him truly in the end, did he?
Yeah, probably so. I think, say, maybe a couple got the chances a bit late, Sibley and Burns. You could argue that maybe even a couple of the young lads maybe got a go a bit late. But I think, as you say, he's backed a lot of young lads and he's given them a chance, and I can't blame him for that. And I'd rather him give people one go too many than what we've seen with some of the openers over the years before him, whereby they were changing after 2 games. It's not. I think he got that bit right. Feel a bit sorry for him because people seem to be hammering him for the rotation policy, but I think that was agreed on by literally everyone. So I don't think it was solely his decision. I think he did what they thought was best, and so I don't think he can be hammered for that. But it'll be interesting to see if it's the right decision, because it now puts more pressure, I would say, on Silverwood. He's not just the coach now, he's picking that team as well. It's more of a, like you'd expect from football and other sports. So pressure's on Silverwood, I would say. But what we're going to do.
Do you think it's going to pay off?
I honestly don't know. Because I'll be honest, it's one thing I have never really fully understood, why cricket works so differently to every other sport. Why it is that they have a selector, the coach coaches the team, but then like the skipper is basically in charge of, or is a good part in charge of picking the team. I've always found that quite peculiar compared to other sports.
Surely, like when, you know, say someone like Brooks playing the county games, surely the coach is going to be watching, and, you know, a bit like Southgate, he's going to be, when there's certain players playing, you're going to be watching the games, aren't you? Mm. And you're going to have an idea of what your team, you know, what the type of players you want and, you know, who you basically want in. So there must be some arguments going on, because you've got, then you've got a selector, you've got the coach, and you've got a captain. There's going to be at least one or two players that you're probably not going to agree on, aren't there?
Yeah, and I think that's maybe where this decision might have come from, because I think there was talk of Root and even possibly Silverwood not necessarily agreeing with some of the players put in the squad from by Smith. I think talk about certain spinners and not trusting them, and other things have been mentioned, haven't they, along the way. Which, so you do wonder if that's why the decision has come about. Obviously, I think it's been quite well documented. Silverwood's been out watching county championship games ever since it's been announced, which is no shock. I think he marched. Text Ollie Robinson saying, well done. He's another name who's surely close to an England call-up. So it'll be interesting, I think, to see how Silverwood goes. I don't think it's a decision you could have made back when, say, Trevor Bayliss was coach, because I think he freely admitted that he barely watched any county championship cricket. So I don't think it'd have worked then. But maybe with someone like Silverwood, who's sort of come from counties and it's deeply rooted in his philosophy, Maybe it'll be a really good decision. But
I think as a coach, though, you've got to watch games, haven't you?
You would think so, yeah.
You've got to go to a few and stuff, haven't you? That's basically your job. Like, it's like blindfolding picking the team, isn't it? It's like, well, yeah, just seeing you play. But you know, your stats look okay. People have said you seem like a decent bloke. You're in the team.
not ideal. I once said. What we're going to do then is, seeing as now Ed Smith is no longer selector, we're going to be selector for 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
And we're going to try and select our team for the England versus New Zealand series. It starts in, it'll be just over a month now, early June time. No IPL players allowed, because obviously we're expecting they'll either be still in the IPL or coming back and under certain regulations, quarantines and all that. One person that should be able to be fit, though, is Jofra Archer. So, can include him if you want to. So, openers, who are you going with, dude?
So I can't even have Butler, even though Rajasthan are going to be probably knocked out.
No, we're not risking any. You want to tell Butler opening the batting, surely?
No, but obviously, I'm going on the balance of the side and all that. And also, do you think Stokes will be fit?
I'm not picking Stokes, seeing as it's had 12 weeks and the game's only about 6 weeks away, mate. I would say that's...
I'm just avoiding the question, to be honest, mate, because the first name is going to be Burns.
Oh, see, I haven't gone Burns, so interesting. Carry on.
To be honest, I didn't realise we were doing this, so now we're on the spot. I'm going to go with Burns and Sibley.
Now, I've gone for Sibley and Crawley, because at number three, I want James Bracey in.
Oh, I like that.
I'm guessing you want...
more braver than me. I've just gone for... yeah. Oh, I do like that, Tierney. Well, are we going to do a combined one after?
Yeah. Well, we'll go with the combined one. So, are we going for Sibley, Crawley, Bracey as the top three?
Yeah.
Right. Does
this series not count for, like, the...
No, don't count for World Test.
So you might as well get people to go, aren't you?
That's part of my thinking. Plus, New Zealand, I would expect, will be missing a few players themselves based on the IPL, but it's not guaranteed. Number four, Joe Root. I'm hoping we're not arguing about that.
Well, he's in, isn't he, to be fair?
Yeah. I think he's not going to pick himself.
He's getting in as my spin bowler.
Is he? Nice. Interestingly, he is in as my spin bowler as well. I haven't picked a single spinner other than him. Number five, now obviously no Stokes were saying, so I've gone for Dan Lawrence, keeping his spot from over in India and in the subcontinent.
I've got Pope and Lawrence, but it depends obviously which way round you want to put them.
Yeah, I've gone Pope at six, just because that was how they played the last time they were both in the team.
He's batting four, isn't he, at the moment for Surrey?
Yeah.
A bit high, because he's going to play one way into it. He's going to get on with this. He's not going to be...
Yeah, he's not going to mess about, is he, too much? So we're agreeing on five and six. Seven, now I've gone Ben Foulkes to keep. I want Bracey purely in as a batsman.
You can't have Woakes, can you?
You can't have Woakes, see. That's the one.
Oh, that's me. Is there a lad from Gloucester as well, an all-rounder?
Higgins.
Seeing it all over the old social media.
Ryan Higgins, are you after?
I've seen his stats for bowling and batting are quite decent, to be fair.
If you want to try and put him in, we need a wicketkeeper, so I'm going Ben Folkes.
Yeah, you can have Bracey.
See, I don't want Bracey batting for me and keeping. I feel like that's asking a lot of a guy on debut.
But then we're not going to have a spinner, and if it's middle of summer, you're probably going to need
a spinner. It's not middle of summer, though, is it? It's June. It's beginning of June. It's going to be green at Lord's, let's be honest, mate.
And people are taking fifers and sevenfers.
True. It is rock hard and cold and dry as anything out there. Yeah. I'll give you that.
I'm going to chuck the all-rounder in, I am.
So you're going to go Higgins, are you?
Yeah. I'm going this as a series to try out some young blood.
Okay, so you're having Higgins in, are you? Yeah. Well, I'm interested then to see who your bowling attack's going to be, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Well, Archer's not 8, so I'll give you that. right, we'll go. I'm having, obviously, Leach in as my spinner.
So you're picking a spinner. See, I haven't picked a spinner, so interesting.
Archer, Anderson and Broad.
Interesting. Now, I'm going to agree with Anderson, Broad and Archer. I wasn't going to go for a spinner because I was going to go for Ben Folkes so that we bat to 7. I can't think, really, if I'm being totally honest, other than Higgins, who has done quite well. I was struggling to think of a spinner that could bat enough, really, or any all-rounder who would really bat enough other than Higgins. So, I'm struggling. I want to give Ollie Robinson a go, I'll be honest. Or Ollie Stone. I wanted to give one of them two a go, really, instead of the spinner.
To be fair, Ollie Stone's going to gain some runs.
Well, yeah, you really can hold a bat, can't you?
But it's a long tail, if he's buying that up there.
I mean, I'm just looking now, and I'd gone for Folkes, Robinson, Broad, Stone, Anderson, because I wasn't expecting Archer, so I'd have probably put Archer in. Instead of Ollie Stone, looking at that.
Also, I think I saw Jack Leach averaging like 50 or something this year with the
bat. Oh yeah, mate, he is averaging 50 odd. So if you want to put Jack Leach in and bat him at 8, then you do that. Are we going to come to an agreement on 8, 9, 10, 11? Are you demanding that you have a spinner?
I'd like one, but then I don't. I think on the balance of the side, you're probably going to have Folkes in, aren't you?
Yeah, I think you'd probably have Folkes at 7.
Yeah. I also don't see Bracey playing myself, but I'd like him to have a go.
Yeah. So I think Folkes the best chance for him to try. So you got giving Folkes the gloves and we've got 4 bowlers. So what 4 bowlers? I think surely Anderson, Broad and Archer are nailed on.
Yeah.
So are you going Robinson, Stone or Leach? I'll let you decide the last one.
I would like Leach, to be fair, I think.
We'll go Leach then. We'll have Leach in as a spinner.
I think he come on a lot, didn't he, in India?
Oh, yeah, he did really well. And the only reason he would be missing out for me was the fact that because we haven't got Stokes, we wouldn't have too many seam bowling options, which at Lord's would worry me. I think later in the summer when you play India, Leach is one of the first names on the team sheet for me as a spin bowler because you've got Stokes, aren't you? And probably you'd probably have Chris Wokes in as well, won't you, as well, that a seam options but also allow you to have plenty of batting.
Right, to be fair, with Anderson, Broad and Archer, I think them three should get you the wicket, shouldn't they, really?
You would hope so. So let us know what you guys listening think, what team you'd be picking for that first test in just over a month's time. Remember, no IPL players. We want to see basically what England have got outside of those big names that are currently either in the IPL or, in Ben Stokes' case, sadly injured. Right then, I think it's time we get on to a bit of North Staffs cricket, seeing as I'm sure most of our listeners are North Staffs based, and even our listener in Cambodia, we found out, is actually North Staffs originally, just listens from Cambodia, which is an interesting one. I'll be honest, I think if I left North Staffs to go and live in a nice tropical landscape miles away, I don't think I'd be too worried about listening to what's happened in the North Staffs League, but each to their own. So, I've got to say, it was an absolutely shite weekend when it comes to our predictions. I don't think any team we really tipped up particularly did amazingly well.
The ones that you tip to go down have done well, though.
Yeah, exactly. In the Prem, we'll start obviously up there. Big shock to start off with was Modishull getting a win against Port Hill. I guess the key man really there was Sevasinghe, the Sri Lankan pro or sub-pro as it was for that game, at 98 not out. And was backed up by someone we know, Robbie Spruce, with 41 not out. Did well, Port Hill, and Louis Allison, who I tipped up for top run score at 70 odd, but just couldn't.
Which you've got one
hold on.
So far. Yeah,
so not doing too bad with that one, but Modishull, I think we did tip to go down. Done really well there to get a win early on. Good start for them. I don't think they'll be complaining in the slightest, will they? Let's be honest.
Like I say, to beat the defending champions first week, and reasonably comfortable. 3 down, was it?
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't particularly tight, really, in the end.
Yeah, so they'll be buzzing with that. I bet they sunk a few ales after the game.
Ah, I would imagine so. The next shot was that Whitmore beat Meekins. Whitmore, who we talked down, didn't, I guess, though, to be fair, we didn't know that Graham White from Northants was going to turn up and play for them. And at 80, so he was the backbone in our innings. Then Matt McCall did a great job, really. 4 for 31, I think it was in the end. And Whitmore got over the line against Meekins and pulled off yet another shot, really. Because again, another team that most people, including us, were tipping for the bottom, went and beat a team that you'd expect to be in the top two or three come the end. So it was a weekend full of shocks in that regard. From the teams that you would expect to be right at the top, and two of the teams that have competed, haven't they, for years now. So be interesting to see if Whitmore, though, can continue to have White or someone of a similar standard as a sub-pro.
I think, like I say, with Whitmore, like when we played him in the Cup, it all depends who they have out sometimes, because they can have a completely different side out, more or less. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's where Dale struggled, you know, a bit. But, well, they'll be inconsistent, I think. Yeah. You'll have some games where they'll be brilliant, and then some games where, you know, they'd probably lose games which they might expect to win. So,
yeah, it was interesting to see three local names on the team sheet. Mm. Graham White, a first-class pro, and then several names from, I think it was the Birmingham area, plus an AN other was what was in the paper the night before the game. It was always going to be an interesting one, and I'll be honest, I recognised the first four names, but after that, it could have been any Tom, Dick, or Harry, really. but fair play to them. They pulled off a great win. Checkley, we tipped up, I think, more for sort of cup success and to finish mid-table. Went and got a victory over Burslem. Again, reasonably comfortable. Zem Malik got the majority of the runs for Burslem, was 62. But it was the star of the match was Clark Hadrill, who's recently moved to Checkley. I know Chris Travers talked him up, didn't he, last week. Big, tall, 18-year-old lad. Got a 4 for 28 and also got helped get him over the line with some quick-fire runs, which was just really impressive, I've got to say, to be fair. I know we talked him up, Chris talked him up, but to do that on your Prem debut for him takes some doing, doesn't it?
I bet when you're facing up and you see, what is he, 6 foot?
6'7" at 18, is it? Or 19, something like that.
You see him pounding in, you're thinking, oh my God.
Yeah, you're not backing it, are you? Yeah, I can't imagine. I wouldn't envy anyone. Bagnall, we said, might struggle, and they did in the first game, to be fair. Leek, just too strong for them, I think, as expected. I think Leek we'd expect to be in the top half and maybe even possibly challenging if they've got good availability. And they had good availability this weekend. Alex Thompson, 42 not out. Foster got 63 for them. And it was quite a comfortable win in the end. And Billow Albatty wasn't available for Bagnall, which I think obviously was a big blow for them. Whether he can make a difference is to be seen, but I'm sure he will make a difference, let's be honest, on a cold and wet one at Bagnall. I can't imagine he's not going to have a big effect.
And then, if he turns up, mate, and it's like that, you know. The only thing is, obviously, it's only, is it 9 overs for Prem?
Because
obviously,
yeah, it's different. Yeah, something like that, isn't it?
So, see him off, mate. Best you can.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work doing them 9 overs. Stone went to beat Ashcombe Park. Ross Whiteley played for Ashcombe Park, got, I think, about 35, something like that. But the day belonged to Stone. George Harding, their new signing, showed that he could do it in the Prem. Again, three for him, got 25 runs as well, Troutham over the line. And John Cheadle was the main man with the bat for them, was 68 not out. Ashcombe might be a little bit disappointed, but I think Stone, again, decent side, and showing that there's still life in them after Matt Coxon left. So I think they'll be very happy with that start. And then probably the match of the day, the thriller, was Longton, who just about beat Cheadle. I think it was about 10 runs in the end. I think Ed Jones, the skipper, admitted he made a mistake when he was speaking to Travers. But him and Zaidi, who was the sub-pro, good effort from them. 98 partnership, ended up more or less steering them home. Despite the fact that Cheadle, at one point, were motoring, but they collapsed, I think, didn't they? I think they lost the last seven wickets for less than 100 runs.
Well, I think Longton were at one point as well, weren't they?
Well, yeah, they were.
In the score, and then they pulled it back.
Yeah, I think maybe as well that's showing sort of where it's harder now that in this format, because obviously we're all talking about the fact that you've got to have at least five bowlers now, and Matt Goodwin's gone and took a fifer for Cheadle, and as you say, Longton were on the ropes, but you've then got to go to your other bowlers, and suddenly if a team can bat six, seven, eight down, you can easily get a target, can't you, on the board? So Longton have done well, which I think wasn't to get that win. It was close, though, and I don't think we're shocked by that. But I say shocked to see that Modishull beating Port Hill and Whitmore beating Meeking. So been an interesting weekend, if nothing else. It hasn't gone to script, shall we say.
Oh, yeah, at least it's not like boring results, you know. The way we were thinking, but making us look like knobheads. So
yeah, I don't think we needed the results against us to look like knobheads, mate. Just a quick look ahead towards next weekend for the Prem. Interestingly, all six winners of the games from this weekend then play each other, and all six losers, play each other. So you've got Checkley playing Modishull, you've got Longton playing Leek, and you've got Whitmore playing Stone. So they all won their first game. And then you've got Ashcombe, Bearsland, Bagnall, Meekins, and Port Hill Cheadle, which all obviously...
Are we doing
We will do for the Prem. Ashcombe, Bearsland, I'm going to go for an Ashcombe win.
Ooh.
I think Zen Malik will score big runs again, but I'm going to bat Ross Whiteley to have a big day out at him.
I'm going to go for Ashcombe myself.
Bagnall Meekins, I'm going to go for, as much as I'd like Bagnall to win, just because I know a couple of them, I'm still going to go for Meekins to win that one. I think Meekins will bounce back. Unless Billowall turns up and suddenly it's a wet one and he absolutely rips through him, I'm going to bat Meekins in that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to join you with that one, mate. Can't argue with that.
Checkley versus Mod. Now, that could be a real good game, to be fair. And I guess a lot depends on who's proing or sub-proing possibly for Mod. But I'm going to bat Checkley at home to nick that one.
Checkley looking pretty decent, aren't they, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got a good opening bowling pair and then got some star-studded batting lineup, haven't they? So.
Mm-hmm. We then move on to Longton Leek. That's going to be a tight one. And I think it could be high-scoring at Longton on the old road. I think again depends a little bit on who Longton have, whether they've got the new pro is available by that point, but I'm gonna say at home Longton just to nick it, but I'm going for a big scoring tight affair there. Probably game of the day to watch.
We're not really disagreeing at the minute, are we? I think I'm Longton. Like we were saying last week, I think this shorter format suits them, doesn't it? So
yeah.
I'm backing them as well.
Port Hill Cheadle, I'm going to bat Port Hill to bounce back. I can't believe they're going to lose the first two games defending the title. If they do, I would be shocked.
I just want to disagree with you, but I can't. I'm going to go Cheadle, mate, just to disagree.
Are you? Good lad. And then the last game is obviously Whitmore Stone. Now, again, depends, I guess, what team Whitmore have got a fielding and whether they've got White again. I'm going to bat Whitmore. I'm going to bat them on the fact that I'm assuming they're going to have a decent sub pro again, or they might have even have White again.
Who are they playing again? Because it's Stone.
Stone.
I'm going Stone.
Okay, Stone, just so, yeah. Just so you disagree. Good chat.
I'm going to be wrong, probably, but I'm disagreeing with you. At least disagree on two of them, anyway.
Right then, Div 1. Ecclesall won it last year, and they started off with a win against Newcastle and Arsenal. Quite a good tight game, though, by the looks of it. Dan Byatt was the man on debut, getting him over the line in the end with 34 not out. You obviously know, dude. Mm-hmm. And we're going to trial something this week. I don't know how well this is going to work, but we've messaged a few skippers. We did ask Sam Kelsall, but he hasn't had a chance to do it, sadly. So that's why we haven't had one for the Prem. But we're going to aim each week to get one person from a winning side in that league to just give us a little run through of their day. And the first one is going to be from Div 1. It's going to be Miles Coughlin from Ecclesall, who I'm sure plenty of people know. So just have a little listen to what Miles had to say after the game.
Hi everyone, quick review here for the Ecclesall CC versus Newcastle and Arts Hill CC first 11 match in Division 1, the North of Dust League. So Newcastle and Arts Hill went into bat first. Matt Travis carried his bat for 74, really good knock on a difficult surface. Asi Faraza chipped in with 37, a couple of big lusty blows as he does. And then entered Jamie Hagan, who hasn't played for a few years. It was great to see him back playing. Unfortunately, we were on the receiving end of a rapid 540 with a couple of big sixes, which managed to swing the game in Newcastle's favour, and they ended up on 197 for four off their 45 overs. Ecclesall then went into bat. Miles with 28. Hashan Tariq played really patiently for a lovely 59. Again, a few more batsmen chipping in. Uzair Shah with 20. Scott Winnington with 19. And then Daniel Byatt finished off a great run chase with 34 not out, carrying it right to the last over. A really great game to start the season. And all full credit to the Newcastle and Hearts Hill lads for a great battle. We always have a good game against them. And we'll look forward to seeing them on the turn.
So cheers for Miles for that. I like the fact that he referred to himself in third person.
Yeah, I did like that.
Well, cheers for Miles. He's first one up. Don't worry, Miles. There's a couple more to come. So I'm sure someone else will at some point refer to themselves as in third person or something along those lines. Moving on to Blythe against Sandiford. Blythe got the victory. Anuj Dahl with 83 not out for them. And Yasir Ali with 65 not out for Sandiford in quite a decent high-scoring game. The two pros sort of making the difference for both sides, but it was Blythe that came out on top. I'm sure a good listener of the podcast, Toby Degg, won't want us to go through how his figures went on that one, because I'm told he was a little bit...
Or you can be nice.
No, I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to read him out because no one wants to do that.
It's an entertaining game anyway, to be fair.
Yeah, certainly entertaining. I'm sure that anyone there watching, I saw plenty of fireworks and certainly got the money's worth if they were watching. Moving on, there was Lee City who beat Little Stoke. Quite a lot of run scores for Lee City. Little Stoke struggled a little bit. To be fair, I think Redfern was one, Matt Johnson another, who scored some runs for Lee City. Emmy Fenton beat Nipersley. Star of the show, unsurprisingly, was Banksy. Liam Banks, 69 runs, and then 4 for 21 with a ball. I mean, not. I'll be honest, I wasn't expect when I read Liam Banks wins the game for Emmy, I was expecting he'd like hit a big ton. I was not expecting a forfeit, but can't argue with that. What would you say about Banks's bowling abilities, dude?
I'll give him a bit of credit, mate. From what I'd say when I was there, he was an off spinner, but because I haven't actually seen him bowl for a while, to be honest. But from what I've heard, he bowls little seam uppers now, I think.
Could be wrong. I think I did read that he opened the bowling, actually.
Yeah, so I could be wrong, but he's had a decent day there. Like I said yesterday, though, bit slow for him, mate. That 69 off however many balls. Normally, it's off, not off many, but he held the innings together.
It's what you needed to do, obviously, on the day, wasn't it? Endon beat Wood Lane. Our mate Jake Thompson got 51 for Wood Lane, but it wasn't enough. Endon. Ad Weaver was 76, and George Sellers, who we mentioned last week, I think it was, or the week before, or John who did anyway, 46 not out. So Enden, who I think were tipped to be in the top few, started off well against Wood Lane. And then Alworth went and beat Audley. Couple of wickets for Alworth spinners. Ben Holt got 62 not out for them as they overcame Audley reasonably comfortably in the end. And that really was about it for Div 1. There's a mixture of fixtures coming up. It's not the same as the Prem where it's magically fouled that winners play winners. You got Audley versus Newcastle, Blyth versus Alworth, which I'm sure will be a good game based on their first two results. Eccleshall versus Knight, where you'd imagine Eccleshall will be hoping they can secure themselves a spot at the top of the table. Emeath, Littlestoke, again, you'd think Emeath will be thinking that they should be getting a victory there and getting themselves at the top. And then we've got Leeset versus Endon. So that both won the first games. Be interesting to see how that one goes. I think that could be a real good game to watch. And then Wood Lane versus Sandyford, who will be looking for the first victories of the season. And again, I'm sure that'll be a good game because both teams have got more than good enough players on show, haven't they?
Yeah.
Right then, dude. It's time we went into Div 2. Now we're going to start off with a big clash. Norton and Ailes took on Port Hill 2s. Top two last year. Going to be big competition, you'd think, between the two of them to win the league this year. New signings, Adil Khalid did the job with a bat for Norton and Ailes, and Pringle did the job with a ball on debut as well. So the ex-Kidsgrove lads doing a big favour there for Norton and Ailes on debut, getting them over the line. And I'm pleased to say the he's no longer the skipper, is he, Michael Dyer? Alex Foley's the skipper now, isn't he? But Michael Dyer has done us a favour. He has sent us in a little 30-second reaction clip. So have a listen to what Michael had to say about Norton and Ailes versus Port Hill 2s from Saturday.
For us yesterday, good game that ebbed and flowed and was played in the right spirit. Really impressed with Nathan Stubbs and Dylan Reynolds from Port Hill, and Liam Assett was unlucky to be on the losing side. Tom Mason looked really good with the ball, and Cy Wood looked really good with the bat as well. In the end, looked like a comfortable win with Port Hill reaching 117 in reply to our 166, but could have easily gone either way, and there's much to improve on from our side and plenty of players to come back from Port Hill.
So, interesting view from Michael there. I think he's probably pretty spot on. I think both teams will be up there. Both teams will be expecting to be up there as well, and I'm sure both teams will probably improve as it goes on. I think that's one thing that most people will say after this first week of the season. There's still a lot of room for improvement after such a long time out and without proper winter nets this year. Moving on, Stafford won at Big Lend. Do we need to talk about it anymore, dude, or are you happy to just leave it in the fact that you lost?
You could talk about it, mate, if you want.
No, I'm not going to talk about it because I wasn't there. It's pointless me talking about it.
Well, we're kind of...
Although, I want it to be known, we finished our game, we'd won last ball, saw your message, we're on North Staff's website, the live streaming, straight on, looped. They needed 2 to win with, like, 7 wickets in hand. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm not going
to
be watching.
To be fair,
much,
the best bit about that, though, is the fact that when you couldn't see him drop the catch, Steve, off me, but you could see my reaction.
I might have to go back and watch that because I haven't seen your reaction, and I can imagine it was an absolute picture knowing you.
He says, you don't look angry, you just look disappointed. So that's been sent round in the players' group.
Brilliant. Who was the stars of the show, dude?
That was for the bat. Basically, we all chipped in, really.
You're going to tell us about your quick fire 38, dude, or you're going to keep it quiet?
It wasn't actually as quick as I wanted it to be fair. but Steve and Seb got off to a good start. I think Steve top scored with 44, I think it was. Let me have a look. Where are we?
So he's only like minus 60, 70 runs, then. Overall.
Yeah. I think we lost the game as well is that one person didn't get the 70 or 80 that probably would have won us the game. Steve got 46 and Seb got 28. And then, like I say, in the middle order, you had the pro, Sammy and Platy. They didn't chip in many. And then Deco come in on debut, actually. And he hits a big ball, to be fair. And then he hits his first six. And then lad bowled a no ball, and then it was free at Sun out of the ground. Thanks for coming.
Can I just mention, I had a no ball bowled at me. I just guided it, little ramp for a single. Tim was on fucking strike for the three hit. Fucking front foot defence. Just won't bring that up because it really upset me.
Off a no ball.
Mate, I was fuming. I was stood at the non-strike then. I don't know, mate, but I was still upset about it now, so let's not talk about it anymore.
Are we allowed to say about dodgy decisions on there?
Yeah, if you want to talk about dodgy decisions, you can.
We had a run out, basically. I was involved with Simi.
Sorry, mate.
I was going to say, with Simi. And basically, I was looking back, and he did look in, and his missus got from the live stream the clip just as the ball's in the keeper's hands, and he's basically in then. So if you'd have carried it on a bit more. But yeah, Jono batted well, actually, batting nine. Someone who doesn't seem to score very quickly actually had a better strike rate than me.
Brisk, are you?
Yeah. I got 38, Jono got 28, so we didn't have a bad day with the bat. But yeah, star man of the show, obviously, was Guy Seaton. He got 107. And they all chipped in, basically. Dave Foster got 34, and then Rob James not out at the end, saw him home. So, actually, a very good batting display for him, actually. And like I say, probably at home, I think, you know, they will be quite a bit of a surprise, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm. Right, we'll move on. We'll stop putting you through that torture. Barlaston beat Mia Heath. Mason Bromley starred with a ball for Barlaston. 6 for just 11. Don't get much better than that for a day out as a bowler when you can only bowl, is it 9 overs?
Yeah, 8.
Going.
Well.
Uh-huh. And then George Horbrook went and got 55 opening the batting. It was brisk as expected. So the new signing there doing the job for Barlaston. Oakmore beat All Sager quite comfortably. One of last year's top run scorers, Tom Sherritt, was the main man with 78 there. Caverswell beat Silverdale. I don't think that was a massive shock. Rat Thomas, I'm sure we're not shocked in the slightest. Really,
I've heard he hit a big ball as well that game.
Yeah, I've heard he hit a big ball a couple of times on Saturday, and 84 off 66 sort of suggests that might be the case, but not his most express innings. So
yeah, he needs to get on with it. But he'll probably save that for when we play him.
Probably, mate, yeah.
You're not reading my figures out when we play them, by the way.
I didn't think you'd want me to. But I just want to mention someone who was on the losing side who I think deserves a big shout here is Ethan Sheriff. On the losing side, playing for Silverdale, but took a 3 foot and also hit 84 himself. So fair day at the office to be on the losing side there. And then last but not least, Sam Batch, who we tipped to be up there, beat Roe Park. Jack Kestervan, top scoring was 71. The coming week there, you've got some interesting games. Big Land, you boys play Mere Heath, so the Battle of the Maskeries, technically. Interesting to see how that one goes. Barlaston take on Silverdale. You'd think Barlaston would be hoping to go 2-2. Caverswell play Road Park again. Another Caverswell you'd think would be hoping to go 2-2. A Rat Thomas, hopefully, with some more fireworks, I would imagine. Newcastle North Hill take on Stafford. Not Newcastle North Hill, talking absolute bollocks. Norton and Ale, should I say. Norton, because I've got NH written down, shocking.
Fucking gone down after losing one game.
I know, we've had a shocker, they'll be fuming. Norton and Ailes against Stafford could be a good game, but I would bat Norton and Ailes at home.
I think that Norton Stafford. And Ailes.
Yeah.
I'll guess Norton and Ailes.
Yeah.
Interesting
one might be Oakmore versus Port L 2s. Obviously, Oakmore have started well, got a good win on the board, looking quite strong, and I know we're tipped up, I think, by Chris, weren't they, to be possibly up there, so...
Depending on the side, you did have a few names missing from what I saw. Obviously, Ben Warrender was in the ones, and I saw Niall was missing. There's probably a couple more that I've missed off, because I did notice two or three different names that didn't probably come across last year. But depending on the side they've got out, I can probably see Oakmore winning that, to be fair.
Yeah, I think a lot will depend on, won't it, what size you say, so... Could be an interesting one. And then Sam Batch versus All Sager, a bit of a Cheshire derby. I think Sam Batch will be favourite to own, but could be another good game. Right, next up is Div 3, and last up, we won't be covering Div 5 to Div 9, but if anyone wants to send us in some info about any particular good performances or games, you're more than welcome to, and we will talk about them. We won't just ignore them because we care just as much about them divisions as the top ones. We just basically can't be bothered to waste 2 hours of your life as we talk
for every about result. Steve being a duck for the second team on his first game back.
I mean, we'll, if you want to keep mentioning that TP got a duck on his debut, we'll just make that nice and clear.
What he did bowl as well and got two for.
Good lad, TP, good lad. That's what we like to hear. Div 3, Crew went and beat Hemheath 2s. Callum Bacon, first game as captain, went and got 68. And I know he went and scored, 100, was it 160-odd not out against your boys on Sunday yesterday?
Two Bacons and I can't figure out.
Exactly. I think they both played both games or something like that, mate. But I think he's had a good weekend because I'm pretty sure I've got him down as having scored over 200 runs not out, 220 runs not out. So his average must be looking fucking good right now.
But declared.
Declared and lost.
And lost.
Yeah. For anyone wondering, that's in the Stone League on the Sunday. Lost to Bingland. And we'll give a shout out to another one of my favourite gingers, Tom Myatt, for getting a ton there.
Yeah, very good not mate, to be fair.
Good, fair play to you. Good
and hit a four to win the game, just what you want.
That's what we like. If you're going to finish it with a boundary. So Crew went and won. Hanford beat my club Wedgwood quite comfortably, if we're being totally honest. We were all out for about 1-3-3. Rizwan was the main man for us, 56 not out. But they didn't really get very far in battling back against Hanford. They knocked it off. Abi Syed got 53 not out. I refuse to mention any more about who got our wickets because if I mention who got two of the three wickets, he'll never shut up about it. So we'll keep that quiet.
Who was it, mate?
No, we're not mentioning him. You can guess who it was because of the fact he wouldn't have shut up
about it. Oh, I actually didn't click in. Now I think I clicked in, yeah.
Yeah. So if he's listening, I refuse to give you any praise. Sorry. Cheadle 2s beat Longton 2s. Brodie Matt did a good job for Longton 2s getting a threefer, even though I guess most of us would probably talk of him more as a batsman. But it was Jack Winfield with threefer who helped to do the job for Cheadle. Eccleshall 2s beat Stone 2s. Main man in that game was Chris Gask, 4-20 for Eccleshall 2s as they overcame Stone 2s. Meekins 2s beat Checkley 2s, but I think that was more or less all down to one man, and that was Zafar Iqbal, with 76 not out, being the difference in quite a close game there. And then the last game of the day in Div 3, Mod 2s beat Audley 2s. Sam Orme top scored for Audley 2s with 61 not out, but Modishall got themselves over the line, and it is Modishall 2s that we have our last clip from, our last bit of reaction from, and it is from John O'Wally. I'm sure plenty of people know from, obviously, previously Alton and now Modishall and Alton. And so have a little listen to this little quick 20-second clip we've had off Jono.
2s yesterday, kept all the 2s down to 158. Dead short boundary one side. And two of their lads batted well in the middle over, so quite happy with the total. Got off to a flyer in our innings, I think we were 80 off 10 overs, and then saw the job home after 30-odd overs, so good start all round.
Thanks to Jono for that. Didn't sound delighted, did he? Crushing victory. Didn't sound too happy. Cheer up, Jono. You started with a win, and I'm pretty sure you... I'm not sure. I didn't really remember looking, to be honest. I was looking at other people's scores, but I think everyone tipped them up to be quite high, and good start for them with a win. Looking at Div 3 this week, Cheadle 2's take on Hanford. Sure that'll be quite a decent game. Both teams winning their first game. Crew take on Checkley 2's. Crew will be looking to get a second win and basically surprise us all because we put them down to finish bottom of the league by a mile. So if Checkley 2's could do us a favour just so we look less stupid. Meekins 2's versus Eccleshall 2's. Both teams again won the first game, so it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top there. Mod 2's play Longton 2's, quite a localish game that. Jono, I'm sure, will be hoping that he can go 2-2 with his boys. Stone 2's then take on Audley 2's. So two teams there who will be looking for their first win of the season. And then another sort of local derby is Wedgie's take on Hemheath 2's. Again, both teams looking for for their first wins of the season. So another interesting weekend ahead. Last thing we're going to chat about before we get into Room 101, just wanted to ask a little, or have a little chat about the use of sub pros, the AN others on the team sheet. Do we think it should, in the top divisions where you're asked to like declare your team and try and put it out there? Obviously, I know you're always going to have some last minute changes if someone's ill or something or gets called on work, but what do we make of sub pros? Do you think it's fair that people are allowed to have sub pros? Do you think there should be a limit on how many sub pros you can have and stuff, or do we think it's fair game at the end of the day? And if you need put down an AN over and then you miraculously have some sort of form of sub pro, or you manage to rope someone in from outside the area on the day before, is that just fair enough and that's just part of life these days?
It's got a limit on it. I don't think you should do for like, I don't know, half a season or anything like that. I think, I don't know obviously how you'd go about it and stuff, but I think maybe, say if your pro's got to go back, you can probably have one for 2 games or something. Either, you know, you get it sorted or you go without, basically, I think. Because then, depending on who you're playing, and say if it's you to win the league, you might go and just spend a stupid amount of money to try and win the game. So I'd probably, you know, there'd be some sort of rules I'd put in place.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was concerning that a couple of teams, it might have been, you could almost sort of look at the team and say, actually, I only recognise half of that team as being local, which I don't think anyone wants to see, do they? Like, if we're being totally honest, you want to be seeing 9, 10 local lads and just the one pro, don't you, really?
Yeah.
One person from out the area who's coming in as a first-class pro or a sub-pro. I'm sure that's something we'll pick up on throughout the season as it goes on. Last thing for today is Room 101. Now, last week, we wanted to bin the overthrows off a direct hit, and then that just about got binned. So, if it was up to us, there'd be no more overthrows off direct hits. And this week's Room 101 is going to be picked by Dude. He had a couple of ideas. So, which one are you going for, Dude?
I'm going to try and mingle it all together in one, I think.
Oh, God. So this means I'm going to have to write an essay to explain it, eh?
Yeah. So, basically, both sides have got 2 on a Saturday, haven't they? I think whoever, say, if a lad doesn't get picked for the first or the seconds, but trains, you know, every week, should get a game on the Sunday. But I think, you know, majority of sides probably still do that, but I'm guessing there is still some sides that will either, you know, maybe pick someone from another club if, you know, they might, because everyone wants to win a game, don't they? You don't play to lose, but I think third team is about bringing some juniors through and some of your old dogs. Like, I think you're going to get some clubs that might just pick, say, someone who's played in the seconds or the first, just to give them that bit of advantage. But I think it's someone who doesn't play on like a Saturday should definitely play on a Sunday.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think we've all seen it on a Sunday at some point where you see someone, you think, that's a bit of a ringer, like that. They've brought them in to try and make sure they win today. And I don't think that's what Sunday cricket should be about. I think we should almost treat Sunday cricket as almost like a bit more like friendly cricket. So I can't disagree with that one. So we'll put that up to a vote that basically we're saying Sundays should be in the main for people who have not been involved on the Saturday, so that everyone's getting a game, because at the end of the day, we want as many people playing cricket as possible. Right, I think that's us done for the week. So before we go, as always, make sure that you have a little look at Woodstock and use our discount code if you're going to buy some kit and treat yourself. And obviously, if you didn't get any runs on Saturday, clearly it's all down to the bat, and so you should buy yourself a new Woodstock kit bag, because that's all that matters, obviously. That's everyone's excuse. Either that or it was the pitch. As always, please give us a follow. Please subscribe. Please give us a review. Boost us up them podcast charts. Get us out to more people, especially in North Staff, so that we can talk a little bit more about North Staffs and talk about stuff maybe a bit further down the ladder as well. As always, as well, the thing we'll finish on is our Cry Bat stickers. Big thanks to all the people who've been donating and supporting us, and it's great to see so many people with Cry Bat stickers and down at Third Man Bat stickers on the bats on Saturday and Sunday in the local leagues. I know we've got Beasley, Mia Heath, Wedgwood, Longton, Port Hill. Got people from so many clubs who are supporting it. I know that Norton and Hales and Leek are getting some stickers offers very soon, and Betley as well. So if we could get every club having a sheet of stickers offers and a few of their lads representing, obviously not just us, our podcast, but more importantly, Cry and supporting Cardiac Risk and the Young for everything they do, that would be really, really good.
So me and John had a couple of questions as well, obviously, about Stafford lads asking about it and stuff. So, you know, hopefully the more people see it, the more people will get involved with it.
Yeah, let's hope so, mate. That's the plan.
Can I also give a little shout-out to Spider as well?
Yes, mate, of course.
Because I did say, if the first game of the season I get a duck, I'm bringing the bat back, to be fair. And he says, yes, mate, any time after 4 on a Sunday, obviously. But it goes a long way, to be fair. There's some wood in it.
That's what we like to hear. I'm sure Gary will be delighted. Right, we will be back next week. We'll be talking, no doubt, more about the world of cricket and about North Staff's cricket. We'll try and get ourselves a guest on just to mix it up so you're not just listening to me, Ginge, and hopefully Jono, because hopefully by that point his car will be fixed. So we'll try and add a different voice in next week for you. If you guys have enjoyed listening and have enjoyed listening to Miles, Jono and Michael, then let us know and we'll keep going back to people and getting their reaction to their game. But big thank you for listening. Have a good week and go well on Saturday and Sunday this week. Cheers.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky with so many options to choose from. How do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.